All right, if you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to continue in verses 18 to 29, but at first we'll be in verses 18 to 21. But also, you can go to Matthew chapter 24 and kind of hold your place there, because we're going to look significantly at that as well in connection with this passage. So 1 John 2, beginning in verse 18, and also Matthew 24. If you got the YouVersion Bible app, I'm in the CSB. It's also going to be on the screen, but if you have a physical copy of God's Word, you can go to 1 John 2 and Matthew 24. And so this is what it says to us from John 2, 18 through 21. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all you know the truth. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. So here, John tells us in this writing, and he's writing to these Christians, that it's the last hour. And what that means is that it is the last period of time between Jesus's first coming, when he first came and was born, but also and started his ministry, but also he promises us in his word that he will return again to get his people. And so this last hour is that period in between his first coming and his second coming. Now, what that period of time is, how long it is, we do not know. In fact, Matthew 24, 36 tells us this, when Jesus told us, "Now concerning that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone." So even Jesus tells us that no one knows the specific day, the specific hour, the specific time that Jesus will return. Only the Father knows that. Now, we know throughout history, if you've been around church at any time or you've looked at the news, you would see that there have been people over the years who have said, you know, because of some biblical numerology or because of some prophecy, or maybe even they're kind of so wacky, they say, you know, some angel told them or something like that. But they have come along, and these are typically either crazy people or they're con artists trying to get money from people, and they will say it's going to be this specific time, this specific date, and every time they've been proven wrong. And so John and Jesus is telling us here, we're in the last hour, but you don't know when it is, and no one's been told, not even the Son. It's an unknown period of time. We know that the time is near, though, because God gives us a sign. He gives us multiple signs, but there's one specific we'll look at here today. But in this, it's, as I was telling the first service, it's kind of like watching a football game. So if any of you watch football, really, or basketball, it could be baseball, but primarily like football and basketball, those type of sports. There have been many times where Nikki's waiting for me to finish watching a football game, and usually on Saturday when the Bulldogs are playing, and we got one fan. that's not your typical woo, by the way. So you all right, Brian?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So that's our resident Ric Flair. So, but usually watching the Bulldogs play on Saturday, and so I'm watching, and there's errands to be run, and so Nikki will usually ask, you know, how much longer is in the game, and it could be just a few minutes, it could be 3 minutes, it could be 4 minutes, but she's learned now over the years that 3 or 4 minutes is not 3 or 4 minutes. It could be 30 minutes, it could be an hour. And so after all of the timeouts, the commercial breaks, and the fake injuries by the Gamecocks, then 30 minutes later, maybe an hour later, that game comes to an end. And so there have been times, though, it's a blowout. And so they're not calling timeouts, they're not faking injuries, they're not doing all those things. So 3 minutes could be 3 minutes. But then there are times that 3 minutes could be 30 minutes. It could be an hour. And so just because you look at the clock and the time is near, it's unpredictable. You can't count on it being 3 minutes. Well, it's the same when it comes to this last hour. We know that it's near, and we know that it's drawing closer. In fact, after this was written, it has already been 2,000 years. And so I would say, based on what we see in Scripture, we are closer now to that hour being over. We're probably in the final minutes rather than on the other side when it was just written, because now 2,000 years have passed. But we don't know that specific time. We don't know that specific date or the specific hour. So Jesus continues in Matthew 24, verse 40 through 44, saying this, "Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding grain with a handmill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. This is why you are also to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You can write this down. The last hour should bring urgency to engage in Jesus' mission. The last hour should bring urgency to engage in Jesus' mission. This last hour that we're in should give us urgency at New Passion. We word it this way, to lead people to become passionate followers of Jesus. There should be an urgency about us in fulfilling this mission that Jesus has given us to. And the reason why is simply this, because people's eternity hangs in the balance. Now, we often, in church world, and I grew up in church, so I've heard these passages oftentimes. I've heard that we're in the last days. I've heard we're in the last hours. And of course, over time, you can see more and more and more signs taking place. You can see some of that taking place. But we oftentimes will look at this big picture of Jesus' return, and we will forget that every moment we live our life is a gift, that we're not promised tomorrow, that we're not promised another moment, that just this moment that you're sitting here is a gift from God. And so at any hour, it could be our final hour. At any moment, it could be our final moment. In fact, none of you are promised to make it through this service. Now, that would be tragic. We would hate for that to happen, but none of us are promised that we have another hour in our life. Just this past week, if anybody follows us on social media, there were actually two different incidents, but one was hit home. My own son was in a freak dirt bike accident going over 50 miles an hour and got thrown from it and fractured his spine and some other injuries. He's going to be okay, thankfully. He's here walking around with a cane. He will take your knees out if you're not careful. Behave. If I just point at you and he'll come along. But he's going to be okay, thankfully. But I've seen other ATV accidents. I've seen there could have been a tree in his path. There could have been all kinds of things. And in a split second, in a split moment, what was a great Mother's Day could have turned tragic, could have totally transformed. There's a lady that I follow online on Twitter, and her nephew was swinging in a swing that was attached to a tree branch. And just in a freak accident, in a moment, that tree branch broke and hit him in the head, and he literally was on the brink of death. They said there was nothing more they could do this past week except for pray. That they had tried everything. There was no signs of improvement, and so people just started praying. And literally, by an answer of prayer, that boy is now starting to recover and starting to show great signs. But in a moment, in a split second, things could have changed. So yes, the Bible tells us that we are in the last hour and we don't know when that will be. And we've already lived 2,000 years of that. So whatever time frame that is for him, we're well into that. But also every day we have to live with the urgency to understand that not only are we not promised it, but neither is our neighbor, neither are those that we share life with. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that Christ's love compels us. And so if we come across as kind of passionate, kind of a little bit crazy to some of you, you know, he's writing to those, to other people. He's saying if we come across as a little bit crazy, it's for you. It's because we love you and we want you to know this Jesus. Christ's love compels us. And so without Jesus, this is the harsh reality. If we study the Bible, the spouse that you share a bed with, that coworker that has a cubicle next to yours, the best friend that you have shared life with maybe since a young age, or that maybe you met later in life that you're good friends with, you can't imagine life without them. or even that stranger that you encounter out at the park or in the grocery store line or in some other capacity, every one of those people, the reality is this, is that those who do not have a relationship with Jesus, when that last hour comes, or when their last hour comes, their last breath comes, they will be separated from God for eternity. That's what the Bible says, that there's a real eternal place of torment and damnation called hell. And so when Christ comes to get his people, the Bible tells us those that do not know Jesus in an intimate relationship, those who have not placed their faith in him for salvation, will be left behind, will be left to face that judgment and that eternity. Their souls are at stake. Today, I want you to really think about the person you share a cubicle with. I want you to think about your neighbor. I want you to think about your spouse. I want you to think about your family member, because that is the reality. John told us we're in the last hour. Jesus told us you don't know how long that last hour is going to be. You don't know what that last moment's going to look like. So if we love people, wouldn't we want to rescue them? If we love sinners, wouldn't we want to rescue them? Wouldn't we want to have an urgency and a passion to rescue them, to lead them to Jesus? Well, Jesus goes on in verse 42, the second part of that, and verse 44, this is what he tells us. Be alert. Since you don't know what day your Lord is coming, this is why you are also to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You know who also that's written to? Not just as us as followers of Jesus, that we need to have an urgency about fulfilling Jesus' mission that he has given us, to go into all the world, to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them all that I have commanded, to go and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength. He's not just writing that to Christians. It's also a warning for those of you who may be here who don't have a relationship with Jesus to say, hey, you don't know when he's coming back. You don't know when that last hour is going to be. You need to be alert. You need to be ready, because when he comes, he will come unexpectedly. When that moment comes that you take your last breath, it will come unexpectedly. I wonder if God didn't let us know the specific day and time because he knows how we are as humans. He knows that we oftentimes, like if we know something's way far off, we'll kind of procrastinate. We'll kind of drift into comfort. We'll kind of give in to convenience. Like we won't be as alert and as aware. And so he knows that we as humans will kind of drift into apathy, becoming apathetic and lazy. Why? Because, you know, our mindset would be like, well, you know, Jesus told us when he's coming, that's 20 years from now. I got time. I got time to get ready. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I'm going to give priority what I want to give priority to. Why? Because I got 20 years. I got time to tell my family member. I got time to tell my friend. I'll wait till closer to that time. Or maybe he gave us in scripture, or there's some numerology that could be figured out, and it's like, he's not coming till 2135, and you're like, I'm not even going to be alive that long. And so it's not even in my lifetime. I got plenty of time. But we're like that as humans. We put things off until the last moment. We put things off until we actually have to do it. But he gives an illustration of a homeowner. It says if the homeowner knows that the thief is coming, then he would be ready. But if he doesn't, he doesn't even know a thief's coming, then he very well could lose focus on what the most priority is. He could start focusing on those extracurricular activities that Solomon said at the end of life is meaningless and pointless. Building our own kingdom, where the Bible tells us, Jesus, once again in Matthew, that rust and moth will destroy and thief will break in and steal. And so if a homeowner isn't expecting the thief, then he could just prop his feet up and binge Netflix all the time and give himself over to the things that at the end of the world is not going to matter. And that's the illustration that he gives us. In the meantime, I'm just going to do my own thing until I know that the thief's coming. If I know the thief's coming, then like on Home Alone, y'all remember Home Alone? He knew the thieves were coming. He knew they were going to be there, so he sets the traps and he gets ready for them. Why? Because he knew they were coming. So in the same way, he's telling us we need to have that same expectation because we don't know when he's coming. We need to be ready that they could come at any time, that Jesus could come at any time, that at any moment he could come and this would be our last moment. He says that we need to be ready, that we need to be prepared, that we need to be expectant. And so today I wonder, Because everybody's in a different place in their relationship with Jesus and in their walk with Jesus. Are you apathetic in these final hours? Have you grown comfortable? Have you grown maybe a little bit lazy in this final moment as we prepare for Jesus' return? Are you prepared for Jesus' return, whether it be personal in your relationship with Jesus or whether it be as a follower of Jesus who should be prepared at any moment, because at any hour he could come. At any moment he could come. Or at any hour or at any moment it could be your final moment, and then you stand before him for eternity. Matthew 24, 45 and 46 goes on and says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes." That's who is blessed, the Bible says. The person who's blessed is when the Lord comes, he is found faithful. She is found faithful doing her job. I wonder, are you found faithful doing your job? If Jesus came back today, would you be found faithful doing your job? You know, for some of us, we kind of look and maybe we have specific ministry roles within the church, or we do specific things within the church, and we say, well, I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. When I worked at Chick-fil-A in high school, I worked both at Chick-fil-A and Cracker Barrel. There are, it's pretty much industry-wide within the restaurant industry. If you're not doing your primary job, there's always other jobs to be done. There's always secondary things to be done. And so at Chick-fil-A specifically, they told us, the owner said, look, we're watching you on camera. So if you don't have customers, which my primary job, I worked up to being a cashier, started in the back, breading the chicken and stuff like that. And so my primary job was to care for the customer when they came up and to make sure they got their order right and things like that. But if there were no customers, our responsibility was to sweep the floor, wipe down the counters, clean up, straighten up the condiments and make sure those are stocked, make sure cups are stocked, making sure the restaurant is ready. Well, in the same way, God doesn't give us a specific time frame, but he tells us to be alert and ready and expectant at all times. Our raise with Chick-fil-A was dependent on if they saw us doing these things. I don't know if they would watch and call the managers and say, hey, you need to let them know they should be sweeping, not standing around talking and things like that. We, as a church, we talk about this in Exploring New Passion. There are those who are on the first impression team. But at New Passion, we call our members owners. Why? Because we all have ownership in the church. And I tell people all the time in that gathering that we have, that yes, we have a first impression team, but if you're an owner at New Passion, guess whose responsibility first impressions is? All of ours. Why? Because this is our church. It's our responsibility. Why wouldn't we want to make guests feel welcome? Why wouldn't we want them to have a warm welcome and a fond farewell? It's all of our responsibility. So yeah, I might be the pastor, but if there's other things that have to be done, then I should be busy at work. Why? Because if the Lord comes, he says, blessed are the ones who are found doing their job. And so every one of us, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 and other scripture, we've been gifted, we've been given abilities to do a job within the kingdom of God. It starts in the local church. It expands beyond that. And so he tells us the final hour is here. And at any moment, Jesus could return and you need to be alert. You need to be ready. You need to be expectant. You need to be one who is giving food at the proper time to his people. You need to be active. Because the reality is not just that, but the reality of the fact that at any moment, it could be any one of our final moments. When Jesus returns, there will be a great eternal separation. Those who do not know Christ will be left to face a judgment and eternity away from God. And the rest of us, those who know Christ, will be taken to be in his presence for eternity. That's good for us, but what about those that we love? What about those that we share life with? Do we have an urgency about their soul? Do we have a passion for them? Do we care for their eternal outcome, whether or not they know Jesus? It's urgent we all actively engage in Jesus' mission. It's urgent that we do this. It's urgent that we share and live out the gospel everywhere we go. And so he tells us that there's a sign. There's a sign that we're in that final hour. So what is that sign? The Bible tells us about the coming of an antichrist who will essentially be a world leader of a one world government. So we know about that. But John here writes not just about him. He does mention that antichrist, but he also mentions and spends more time on the spirit of antichrist, which came into existence and really came about when Jesus was born and when he started his public ministry. Look at verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2. It says, "As you have heard that antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour." So because antichrists have come, because that has been revealed and made known, we know that it's the last hour. So this doesn't mean it's the end days because the world leader, antichrist, has come, but the many antichrists that have come before him. Verse 22 and 23. "Who is the liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well." So although there will be a world leader who is the antichrist, the same spirit rules anyone who denies the deity of Jesus and denies that he's the Savior. And so this was what was happening with the Gnostics at the beginning. This is when we started this series, we talked about this. The Gnostics had come in. They were twisting that Jesus was God. They were twisting that he was the Savior. They were twisting the truth to mislead these young Christians. And so that's who he's referring to. Look at verse 19. "They," talking about the Gnostics, the heretics, "they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us." The very fact that the Gnostics were misleading the Christians about who Jesus was and about his role in his ministry proves that this is the last hour, because this was what was said to us. But this group of heretics had come out from the church. They had been misleading the Christians. They had been misleading the church, and they left the church. And the reason they left the church was because they weren't Christians. They were antichrist. They were not of Christ. And so I have grown up, and I've shared this with you before, that I grew up in a very legalistic environment, kind of a certain kind of group of kind of Baptist churches. And this can be this can be the reality for other denominations as well. But anytime someone would leave the church and they would leave that specific church, this passage would be used to essentially abuse those people. It would be used against them. So they would quote this verse, "Well, they went out from among us because they didn't belong to us." And basically what they were saying is if you leave my church, you're obviously not a Christian. You obviously don't belong to the household of faith. But that's not what's being said here. Verse 19 is specifically talking about non-believers, specifically talking about those who denied the deity of Jesus and his finished work on the cross. So New Passion is just a small part of the global church. It's not talking about New Passion. This passage isn't talking about any specific church. It's talking about the family of God. Why did these Gnostics leave the church? Because they weren't Christians. They were anti-Christ. They were anti the doctrine of Jesus, his perfect birth, his perfect life, or his virgin birth, his perfect life, his death on the cross, the fact that he was fully God and fully man, that what he did on the cross, his shed blood, was sufficient payment for our sins, that he rose to new life so that you and I, through faith in him, could be raised to new life. That is, if you deny that, the Bible says that is the spirit of Antichrist. And so, yes, if someone leaves New Passion and they protest the deity of Jesus, they protest that he is the Savior, then yes, they would fit within that passage. But not just anyone who God might send off or send away. We at New Passion, we don't beg people to stay with us. We know that God is big enough to send people to us and to also send them away. And the reason we don't beg people is, number one, because we believe God sometimes does send people to other places to do more effective ministry. He hasn't saved us to be spectators, but to be participators. And so sometimes, and I've said this multiple times, I love what J.D. Greer says. It's not about our seating capacity, it's about our sending capacity. It's about the ministry that we go and do, go into all the world and make disciples. So sometimes God says, hey, I got a different ministry for you over here. I got something I can, you can flourish more productively in this way. So we don't want to hold anybody up from God sending them out to do greater ministry. But then there are those who the Bible warns about watching out for the wolves, for those who are false teachers like the Gnostics. There are some who are cons. And so sometimes God is protecting his church by sending them out. And then there are times that there are lost people who oppose the truth. We've had that here as well. We welcome lost people. The church is you and I. We're the body of Christ. We are the people. We join together in a building to corporately worship God, to celebrate the life that he has given us. And there are times, and we hope that God sends lost people to us. And there have been times that maybe some of you came in and you were lost and you heard the gospel and Jesus opened your eyes to that gospel and you were transformed and you came into the family of God. But then there have been those that oppose that truth and they essentially, it causes friction because they want to oppose the truth as we teach it from God's word. And so we don't beg those people to go. If someone tells us they're leaving, we have a conversation. We want to make sure as a church that we've not done anything that would push anybody away. If there's anything we need to repent of or that we need to own up for, we want to do that as the family of God. So we don't just say, see ya, you know, get out of here. But we also don't try to stand in people's way if it is made clear that God is sending them. But when good people go to do other ministry, it doesn't mean that they're antichrist. It doesn't mean that they did not belong to us. It means that they're still a part of our family and God is using them in greater ways. Christians stand firm in their faith by abiding in the truth. You can write that down. Christians stand firm in their faith by abiding in the truth. 1 John 2, 24 through 29 says this. It says, what you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I have written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, remain in him. So now, little children, remain in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. As long as you hold firm to the doctrine, the teaching that Jesus' finished work on the cross, the gospel message is the basis and the means of your salvation, you're held secure in your relationship with the Father through the Son. There are those who will come through church or they will hear that message and they will say they believe that, but they really haven't believed it. And so there are some who have heard that and they've rejected it. They've walked away from that. The Bible says that if you've heard the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, what he did on the cross and what he has done for you, and you reject that, there is no other sacrifice that can be made for your sins. There's nothing else. There's no other answer. Like if it is not Christ and Christ alone and faith in him, there's nothing else to save you. There's nothing else to redeem you. So as long as you hold to that belief and it is the basis of your salvation, the Bible says that we are held secure in that relationship. That which we heard from the beginning. Everything you need to grow in your relationship with God is found in his word. Now, I'm not against commentaries. I'm not against other Christian books. Those are great. Those are great references. Those are great things that might help you understand passages. Those things are fine. But what you need to understand God in its fullest is his word. His word is absolute truth. His word is God breathed out, given to us so that we know his will, so that we know him. And then the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit that lives within us, as you hear God's word, like today, that it will confirm His truth in you. As you study His word, it will confirm that truth in you. Now, there is a time, as a young babe in Christ, as we talked about last week, that you are more dependent on a teacher or a pastor or someone to help you understand God's word. But that should not be a permanent state. At New Passion, we don't want you just dependent on us. That's why we try to give you Right Now Media. That's why we give you study guides. Why? We want you to be able to grow on your own. I am a benefit to you at some point, but I should not be your sole dependent person to learn God's word from. As you read His word, His absolute truth, that which has been breathed out to you, His Holy Spirit, which indwells you as a believer, will confirm that truth, will let you know that it is true. Why? Because earlier He said there is no lie in the truth. And so that Holy Spirit confirms it in us. Some of you abide more in man's teaching and opinion than you do God's word. You need to be in God's word. Sometimes it's your own opinion about how you feel that word should be translated. It needs to be rooted in God's word. You need to be like a good Berean in the book of Acts, where even when I teach something or preach it to you or a small group or whatever, you go to God's word and study it out and see if it's true. Why? Because the Spirit will confirm it in you. He can confirm it right here based on what you know of God's word. But study it out for yourself. Never just take our word for it. We're going to get it wrong sometimes. We're imperfect people. But God will confirm His truth in you. Even today, God's word has now been spoken. We're closing out, but His word has been spoken to you. We know that we're in the final hours. If we're going to stand in that final hour, we got to have God's word in us. We got to have His Spirit to confirm it in us. But we're in the last hour. If His Spirit is within you and He has confirmed that in you, then here's what I'm calling you to today. It's simply this: to obey. And if He's not confirmed it in you today, my encouragement would be to do this. Go home, study it out, and as He confirms His word in you from your own study, whatever His Spirit calls you to, obey. The Bible tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. He doesn't care that you're sitting here today. He doesn't care that you've given money in the offering. He doesn't care that you sang some songs. Those things are great. But if you walk away and you don't obey, then those sacrifices have amounted to nothing. They are meaningless unless they're rooted in obedience. So whatever He calls you to today, obey. No one lacks opportunities to fulfill Jesus' mission, whether inside of New Passion or outside of New Passion. There is plenty for you to be engaged in Jesus' mission. But if you, here's what I've found as a pastor for many years now. If you're not willing to do it inside the walls of a building known as the church that we get to participate in, chances of you doing outside of these walls are slim to none. The Bible says that those who are found faithful in the little, He will give even more. And so I could call you to say, hey, you know, Mission Baltimore, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. But the Bible also says that He's equipped us for the smaller things, the weekly, routinely things. And it's so much easier inside the walls to get into a routine and to get into, not that it becomes routine, but you know, hey, this is where I'm called to serve. This is where I'm called to be involved. Why? Because who is the blessed? Those who, when Jesus comes, is found doing His or her work. His job. What job do you have within the local church? What job do you have outside of the local church that you are fulfilling for the kingdom of God? It's not that we lack opportunities to engage in Jesus' ministry. It's that we lack the urgency, that we lack the knowledge that at any moment He could return, or at any moment it could be someone's final breath. Are you actively engaged in building God's kingdom? Are you engaged in Jesus' mission to help rescue those who will be left when Jesus returns? Or have you given in to comfort? Have you given in to apathy? Have you given in to laziness? Here's the challenge for you today. We're going to pray in just a moment. It's going to be a brief prayer. It's going to be simple. But we're going to do this publicly because this is what we're called to do. This is, we are called to be at work. We are called to be, to have an urgency about Jesus' mission. We are called to feed and to provide that food, the gospel, the message. And you know what? No matter what role you play within the church, it matters. You know, people make a decision whether or not they return to a church well before the message. It happens from the parking lot to the front door to the children's environment. People make a decision well before they get to me. Even in the roles that you feel are small, they are important for the kingdom of God. They are important for the advancement of the gospel. And so this is what I'm going to call you to. If you do not have a job at New Passion, my challenge to you today, this is what I need from you today, because it's obedience to God's word. We see it in 1 Corinthians 12. You've been gifted, you're a part of the body of Christ, and the body is not complete without you. Is to take the challenge to test drive a ministry for the next 90 days. To test drive a ministry for the next 90 days. So that means that if you do not have a specific role that you're playing in the church today, that you will take the 90-day challenge. That's if we begin next week, that's August 22nd. And so this is what I'm going to do. That could be Passion Kids. That could be the Grove back here with the babies up to K-4. That could be the elementary age children upstairs where they dance and do skits and have a lot of fun and sing a lot of songs and learn about Jesus on their level. It could be the parking lot team so that you give people a warm welcome and a fond farewell right as they come onto property and as they're leaving and tell them to go this way instead of this way so they don't wreck. That would make for a bad Sunday. It could be first impressions. It could be student, whatever. It could be you might have a musical talent where you can sing or you can play an instrument. And so you're willing to go through an audition to join the worship team. Whatever it is, it all is important. And we're in the last hour. Will you be found faithful doing your job when Jesus comes? So this is what I'm going to ask you to do as I prepare to pray. And I'm going to pray right into this. Is this, if you do not have a job at New Passion, and you're willing to take this 90-day challenge, you're willing to talk to a leader, that you raise your hand and they're going to bring you a card and they're going to give it to you. And you're going to fill that out. You can give it back to them or put it in one of the lock boxes or take it at First Impressions. And this is you saying, for the next 90 days, I'm going to test drive a ministry. And maybe after the first week, it's not right, but you may jump into something else. But for 90 days, I'm going to test drive a ministry to see if that's right for me. Why? To be faithful in what he's called me to obey his word, and to be involved in the ministry and the mission of Jesus. And so Paul said at the end of his life, he wanted to pour his life out as a drink offering. He wanted to leave this earth with nothing left. And so as I pray, I'm going to challenge you. Raise your hand and they'll bring you a card. Even if it's just, hey, I'm willing to talk to a leader in one of these specific environments to see what that entails, to see if it works with my schedule. And if it doesn't, I'll join another ministry team. If you do not have a job, go ahead and start slipping that hand up and they'll bring you a card and they will get that to you. Let's pray. God, you see these hands. You see the hearts of your people for what you have called us to. You have called us to go into all the world to make disciples. And God, I believe that starts here. I believe if we're not doing it here, then we're not going to do it outside of here. So Lord, your word has been spoken. Your truth has been given to us today. And we know that we're in the last hour. We can look at the signs. We see that there are more antichrist, or that spirit is more prevalent today than it has been at any time in our history. And so we know the time is drawing near. But Lord, we know that we could walk out of here and our time be over as well. And so God, my prayer is this for our people, is that we would simply obey. That we would take this step and we would not worry about what is convenient to us and what's comfortable to us. But Lord, we would take a step saying, if your spirit is speaking to me, then I'm going to respond. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to have all the answers, but I'm willing to have a conversation. I'm willing to gain that information to see what's involved. Lord, help us to just obey. And so as we leave here today, as we close out with a song of worship, may our hearts be in tune with yours. And may we honor and glorify you by being faithful to your word and being faithful to that which you call us to. Lord, if there's one who doesn't know you today, I pray that they would get ready and that they would be expectant of you by placing their faith and trust in you for salvation today. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.